joining us now on the line. I'm always appreciative. I thought a really good job filling in for me last week. Former State Senator Rusty Glover is on the line. Let's try that. All right. Thank you for joining us this morning. We do appreciate it. And you've been through these early stages before these budget hearings. For the listeners, walk us through how this works. If it's that week before the State of the State's coming up, and if you're not familiar with the way Montgomery works, then where are we right now? Kind of things.
Well, right now with budget hearings, what will happen is the state agencies will have their leaders come before the budget committees. The House, usually they'll have in the last few years, it's been the budget, the House and Senate Education Committee will be in one room, and they'll have those education entities coming before them and giving their wishes, what they need, what they feel like they need to be placed in the budget. And also later or the next day, they'll have the House and Senate General Fund Budget Committee in this big room, and you'll have the state agencies come in and give their wish list of what they feel like they need to be placed in the budget. This year's a little different from my understanding. Instead of having a crowded room full of people, citizens, lobbyists, other agency heads, it's just going to be they're bringing an agency head in, one person in the whole room to talk to the committee members, and I believe it may be not televised, but I think they can see it on other members of the legislature can see it on a computer, so they can see it as if they were in the room.
And that's, you know, I guess the brave new world we're in with all the technology and getting it. We've never done anything like this before, and I'm skeptical that it could be pulled off, but I guess we'll have to wait and see just that this could be done quasi-remotely.
Yeah, and I know, and several of the guests in previous days some have been more optimistic than others, but, you know, there's a little publicity a few weeks ago about Speaker Mac McCutcheon in the House has, you know, made a lot of changes and adaptations for this upcoming session. It's going to be very different from anything before. In the Senate, the senators are spread out on the floor to such an extent that they can be 6 feet apart. And the big problem concern a lot of people have that the average everyday citizens that want to go and give their support for bills or give their protest to bills that they feel like that they may not work to their advantage, they're not going to have as much access as they've had in the past to the legislature. And a lot of this is attributed to the State House. And you talked about the old highway building that's used as a State House now and how inadequate it is for many things. But that's a problem that they're going to have to go through. I really have a concern for the staff, because you're going to have a lot of visitors coming in. They have to have appointments before they can come in, but you're still going to have folks coming in, and that's who they speak to, the staff members, the secretaries, before they get to the legislators. So I have some concern for those folks, but I think they can pull it off. You know, there's some issues, the budget redistricting. You know, Representative Brown mentioned that the budgets are going to be a priority, that he's talked to leadership. And if I may, you know, a lot of times the legislators speak of leadership from time to time, and a lot of the listeners may not know exactly who leadership is. So if it's okay, Jeff, I'd like to list those folks so people have an idea, because they do come from a different range of – they're not all from Birmingham or different, you know, one section. We have in the Senate Senator Reed from Walker County. You had him on last week, and Senator – Schofield is, Reed is the Senate pro tem. He is the number one top guy in the Senate. The House, the Senate majority leader, which would be also part of leadership, would be Clay Schofield from Marshall County. Greg Albritton, who was on last week and is on at least every other week, he's from Escambia County. He is the budget chair of General Fund, and of course from Morgan County is Arthur Orr. And so the budget committee chairs, the two budget committee chairs, the pro tem and the majority leader make up the leadership. And in the House, you have Speaker of the House McCutcheon from Madison County, the pro tem of the House, Representative Gaston from Mobile, Representative Ledbetter, you had earlier this, probably last week, from DeKalb County, Klaus, Representative Klaus from Dale County is the general fund chair, and House member Representative Poole is the education budget chair, and he's from Tuscaloosa County. So they're all these leadership positions are spread out across the state, and those they set out priorities of what they want to do each day, and sometimes they'll have a week or two planning. So and they've done this, and they're looking at those bills that have been discussed that Representative Brown spoke of, and Bill Britt spoke of, the economic incentive bills, that have been sunsetted, the no taxation for the stimulus check. The governor had an executive order, but that's going to be codified. And, of course, the PPE also included in that. Protection from the frivolous lawsuits due to COVID. And, of course, the as we mentioned, the budget and redistricting is going to be big. But I think the problem about putting redistricting off, which some members have said this, they want to put it off. If you put redistricting off into, say, the fall for special session, that will be after the period of time for fundraising and planning on who's going to run. At least these legislators are going to be they can start fundraising in June. So to have redistricting after that, that could kind of make some problems for those individuals who are planning on running for office.
Well, let me ask you this, Senator. Do you think they have kind of an idea of where they're going to head with that? I mean, it's not going to be public, and I don't know. I guess I'm kind of familiar with what goes on behind the scenes. Do you think they have some kind of notion, perhaps, of what redistricting might look like?
Yes, I would think so. There was a lawsuit, and that was settled about 2 years ago. So the last legislative elections, which were in 18, they were based on the new districts that, we had the district, 10 years ago lines drawn. But in 2017, after the lawsuit, the districts have been put together with some minor changes. I know the district that I represented had some major changes since 2014. But I think they have a good idea that the population shift, it'll all be, all the districts have to be close as far as the number of people in each district. So I think that there will not be, it should not be a big problem there. Now, if we were to lose a member of the House of Representatives in Washington, that would be some major wrangling and political maneuvering going on. But I'm not sure. I've heard that there's a chance we may still be able to keep all seven, but, that's up in the air right now.
Yeah, and I guess the legislative district, so the congressional districts are anybody's guess, but there's not much those guys can do about it. But the guys in the legislature, I think they kind of have an idea of what they want to do, or some of them you talk to and they'll tell you, well, I would rather be over here than over there, and maybe that's how that's all going to shake out.
Yes, yeah, and of course, who's planning on not running for their office in the House of the Alabama delegation? That'll have a lot to do with it. If they combine a good portion of District 1 and the Wiregrass, is that two the Wiregrass? I believe that's two. If they combine those, that's going to be some problems there. And if they do that, it'll be a lot of Jefferson County has a lot of representation, and they're going to want to keep that position. If Gary Representative Palmer does not run, there's going to be some people that want to carve that district, put that district into other districts. Well, that's not going to sit very well with the Jefferson County delegation. They will fight that hard. So it's going to be a lot of political maneuvering and wrangling if indeed we do go down to six.
Well, I tell you, Sewell's District 7, it's losing population, but they got to keep that majority. You have to keep.
Yes.
So when I talk to these guys, and they'll tell you, what they do is they let her figure out her district first, and then they will divide it amongst themselves what's left. I would think seven, since it's losing so much, one of the possibilities is it could reach into this listing area for population. Mm-hmm. It could go south. It's already Clark County, but it could go even further south if it needed to. to pick right. up, you know, because that's the, you do have an a sizable African American presence in this yes. in this district.
They do, but the thing about that is you're going to have residents in Clark or maybe Washington County. They're going to there's going to be some very unhappy people if they know that their representative is not a resident of Mobile Baldwin County, but resident of Birmingham. There's, you know, the district lines for that seat have stretched in the past. I haven't looked at the lines lately, but I know it stretched within about 20 miles of Mobile County in the past, and it's just a strip. But it's, you know, having that kind of a, you know, if you would look at it as gerrymandering or whatnot, it'll just be so much better if it's seven districts. And we'll just hope there's seven, and then if it's, you know, if it's six, you know, they got some problems.
Well, if they go and they combine one in the southern part of two in some ways, mm-hmm. where you have Dothan and Mobile in the same congressional district, you're right. That's going to cause a lot of heartburn because all the interests are very different. The coastal part of Alabama and the Wiregrass they're probably if you look at congressional districts, two of the most different, at least Republican districts in the state. Mm-hmm.
Yes, very very much so, and of course you have. The two representatives, Jerry Carl and
Barry Moore.
Barry Moore, just one. They're just getting their feet wet, and they're 2-year terms. So once they're elected, they're very close to the point where they're having to start fundraising. Sometimes they fundraise from day one for the next election, which is only 2 years away. And so the uncertainty that they have of whether they'll be maybe possibly running against each other. That will be something that they're going to want settled very quickly by the Alabama legislature, and waiting to the fall might be something that would be very discouraging for them, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think you're right. Hey, Senator, we're out of time here, but I do appreciate you hopping on real quick and kind of giving us a lay of the land from your perspective.
Yes, sir.
And we'll do it again real soon.
Yes, sir. Good to be with you. Y'all have a great day.
Do the same. Former State Senator Rusty Glover on the line. We're